I'm called Susan Snodgrass. I was born Susan Snodgrass, and I would like to say to keep that name because we were five generations of flour millers. So we go back about 150 years. And there is actually a book but about the mill. And it started like that, just a tiny mill in Paisley. And then it ended up by being a very big mill in Glasgow, just by the Kingston Bridge, as you come into Glasgow. So,
so were your early years? What age were you? Were you born there?
I was actually born in Glasgow.
Yes.
And then my parents moved to a house called Ardmore, and that's a picture of it on the side.
Sadly, people listening to this can't see that.
No, they can't.
Well, it looks the most beautiful house. What a wonderful place to grow up in.
Well, it was. It was idyllic, really. Yes, it was.
And how many years did you spend there?
We spent there, really, probably right up to time I went to school. Went up to boarding school, I mean, till the age of 12.
Ah, right, yes.
Because when they moved to Ardmore, I went to, had a nanny, yes. And we had street maids. That was the era.
Yes.
And I rode my pony, and my mother gave me a piano at the age of 5 when the nanny left, because I was so sad. And then I went to school at St. Bride's in Helensburgh. Yes. And there I stayed until 1939, which was, of course, the start of the war.
And where did you spend the war years?
I spent the war years down in England, at West Heath, the school in Sevenoaks.
Oh, you went to West Heath?
I went to West Heath. Yes. We had a Scottish party from Glasgow Central, about 10 of us. We all went down by train from Central Station to London, crossed London and to Sevenoaks. But then I only had 2 terms at West Heath when the school shut at the time of Dunkirk. And I had to go back to my school in Helensburgh for 1 term until the school opened at the Claydon House in Buckinghamshire, which is, of course, naturally now National Trust.
Yes. And were you aware of the war wherever you were at school?
Very much so. Yes, we were. Yes. And I had been aware of the war before that, yes, because the army in 1939 took over Ardmore because it had a very good position in overlooking what we called the head of the bank, which is a bit of the Clyde. And so the army took over the Ardmore because Ardmore was a peninsula that stuck out into the Clyde. Yes. And so it had about 100 acres, so they just took the whole place over, really. Lived with the army for about a year, and then they eventually took the whole place over, and my parents had to leave and went to Helensburgh. But I was at school by then.
And was that the family never returned to
No,
the
they didn't. That was it. Yes, yeah, that's right.
So having been to school, I mean, I imagine that all along your musical talent was very obvious.
Well, yes, I mean, I did. I learned at school and played at school and so on. But at West Heath, it was a very musical school, very musical. We were very fortunate. We had a professor from the Royal College of Music who came down, even during the war, on a Thursday night. He stayed the night, taught. When he came, and he taught the whole of Friday. He played to us on Thursday evenings, always. And so I was very lucky. And he then said, would you like to go to the Royal College of Music? I said, yes, I would. So by that time, I'd taken all my associated board exams. So I then took my entrance into the Royal College of Music and went. And actually, I lived with another West Heath friend, two of us, with the Wilson family, and he was my professor with his wife in Wimbledon.
How wonderful.
For 3 years, for the whole, so really, That was the years of austerity, though.
But that was after
the war. Yes, they really were.
So very much the time of rationing.
Rationing and cold. I remember it was so cold, the professors at the college walked out and said they couldn't teach, it was too cold. You know, there just was no fuel either.
It's extraordinary.
Yes, it was.
Did you intend to have a career in the musical world?
I would have liked to. Yeah. Yes, I would. I mean, I taught at the Haberdashers' School in London,
mm-hmm.
and then I taught at the in the Gorbals. You know what I mean by the Gorbals, don't you? And that was an experience,
that
I can tell you.
Very tough.
Very much so.
Yes.
And I taught in Edinburgh, and then of course I went to a wedding in London, and met Ron. So you know. That was sort of my life changed after I got married.
Of course, but what age were you when you married Ron?
I was 24, right, nearly 25. Yes.
It seems like so young now.
Much younger. Yeah, it does indeed.
But we
yes,
all did.
Yes, yes, indeed, it did.
But you always kept your music going, so didn't you? Because
yes, I did. Yeah. Because my mother gave me a piano, so the piano came everywhere I went.
Yeah.
I remember saying to Ron, "If you marry me, I'm afraid you're going to marry a piano as well." And he stuck to it. I mean, you know, we always had a piano wherever we went.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And did you spend much time abroad with Ron?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Well, yes, I did really because. When we went to Malta, because Ron was in a ship called Chevron, and that was patrolling off Cyprus, and I went out with Carol, who was born in Plymouth, because Ron had a job at Manolin, you know, the engineering college.
Yes, yes.
And so we went out, just the two of us, and we had a year out there, and Anne was born there as well.
Very soon after.
Yes, I know. That was quite scary because Suez blew up at the time.
Yes.
And we all had to leave the island then and come home.
Oh,
it was quite a dramatic time, Suez, really.
It was, certainly. Yes, unfortunate time.
Yeah, it was a very unfortunate time, yes. So that was another of our debauched, really.
And was Ron away at sea a great deal?
Practically the whole time, I'm afraid, yes. I hardly saw him. But anyway, that's the Navy a bit, isn't it?
It was, yes. I think my grandmother was 3 years apart from her husband.
3 years.
In the Navy.
That's a long time.
Any of us ever had it quite as bad as that, did
yes.
we?
No, that was a long time.
Yes.
We were 3 years away in the Far East, but at least we were together as a family by then, you know.
Yes.
Because by then we were three of us. Simon was born in Bath.
And then what brought you to Hambledon? Obviously, in the Navy being nearby, I imagine.
Well, I think really what brought us to Hambledon was that my daughter Anne. Who was married, and her husband had a job in Fareham, and they wanted to find a house. But so for I think it was 9 months, they rented the coach house at the, you know, in Hambledon. And so we used to come down and visit them a lot and thought what a nice village it was. And then when Ron finally left the Navy and had a job in London, we then decided we would quite like to move a little bit out of Surrey and move further away. Those are the days when houses were advertised in the Times on a Wednesday. And there was a house in Hambledon, and we came down to look at it, and it was Deepfield. And we were just lucky that we got it, because we actually lived in a school in East Clarendon, in Surrey, near Guildford. And not everybody wants to live in a converted house. No. I mean, we loved it. We were there about 25 years, but yes, it's not for everybody.
No, no. And can you remember the year you arrived in Hambledon? How many years have you been here?
Well, I've been here nearly 30, not quite, probably 29 years. Yes.
Yes, that's right. So you came about 10 years after we did.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And then we had such fun in the music.
Oh, we did, yes. We really did, yes.
Oh, I mean, you.
Those were great days.
They were. Yes. It was a wonderful time, wasn't it?
It was.
Do you remember we were tasked with going off to find a piano for
that's
for
right,
the Art
I remember
Society.
That. Yes.
I'm not sure we were very successful, but it's still going.
It's still going.
But Sue, you're not only a pianist, you sing and you play the organ.
Yes, well, when we went to East London, the vicar came up to me, I remember, the first Sunday and said, I hear you're a pianist. And I said, yes, I am. And he said, well, actually, got a bit of trouble, you know, the usual, the organs had left. And he said, would you like to just play the organ as a pianist for, you know, till we find somebody? And I said, well, yes, I'll do that, a pleasure. And I suppose about 25 years later, having learned the organ, I took all the associated board exams from grade 5 right up to 8 on the organ.
Goodness.
And then I thought, well, I'm going to really master this instrument. So I did. And I played there, as I say, for every Sunday for 25 years.
That's remarkable. Yeah. It really is.
Yes, no, I loved it, though.
And you used to
met all sorts of lovely people and interesting church people and sang in the choirs and we did all sorts of lovely things.
So you were much in demand when you arrived in Hambledon as an organist as well as a pianist and a singer.
Well, I loved filling in when Peter didn't, you know, that's what he did. I knew when he come up to me, he said, Sue, by the way, you know, or something. He said, you know.
This was Peter Cobb.
Peter Cobb, yes. Yes.
And then you ran the music group, didn't you, for a while?
Yes, I did. Yes, that's right, I did. Yes.
Which is quite a business, didn't
it? Yes, it was surprising how much was involved, really.
And we started music in March.
As you mean, started music in March, yes.
And thinking up music that was suitable for everybody, was quite a challenge, wasn't it?
And then you very kindly always opened a lovely drawing room to us all.
For rehearsing,
which was so nice. Yes, everybody loved that.
They did, yes. So we had always had there was one time we had such a large audience in the village hall. I think they forgot about the rules about
yes,
about,
I think he
about
did.
140 people.
Yes, yes, I remember. Yes, taking the tickets was really you had to be very careful.
Very careful.
I was always saying, perhaps it yes. Please.
And then the floods. How did they affect you?
Well, I suppose the second time was worse. The Christmas time.
Yes.
That's the time of Richard Brand, wasn't it? And I was church warden then.
Yes.
So you had to go quite a lot to church. And of course it was, you know, difficult getting out here. Very difficult. We had to leave all our shopping and everything. We had to carry it over back. But he always said, Richard, just walk in the middle of the road where it's a little bit higher. And actually, it never went right over our gumboots.
It didn't, no.
No, not,
it,
not, not.
It was very fast running.
It was very fast running,
you could easily be swept off your feet.
Oh, good, absolutely, yes, definitely.
But the house itself was...
But the house was all right. Next door that way was not. And luckily, Tudor Cottage was just high enough. Just, literally.
Yes. Lucky?
They were very lucky. Yes, but Tudor Cottage had a cellar, and they're below the level of the road.
Oh yes, of
so
course.
Hopeless. Yes. Yes.
No, well, let's hope we never have anything like that.
I know. I quite agree. Yes.
And then we come, of course, years later to the COVID.
Yes, the COVID
era.
Yes.
And how did you deal with that?
Well, actually, it was quite dramatic because Anne, my daughter, came and said, John, that's her husband, and I think you should come and stay with us. And I said, well, you know, I'll be all right, be perfectly all right. No, no, she said, no, definitely not. And she was very, very strong about it. And I thought, well, I suppose if I'm upsetting a family, I'd better... So with that, I packed everything up. As you know, you always have to be packing up somehow. And off I went to Broxford for about 10 weeks. So I missed a lot of the beginning of the COVID in Hamilton, really.
And then you came
back. And then
back.
I came back, yes. Yes, I came back.
For the whole of the lockdown, really.
Yes, the whole of the rest of the time. But I did a lot of walking around Broxford.
And you had your music, of course.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I did, because Anne had a piano, so I took a lot of music over there. And,
yes, but you've always got your piano here. It's a great
that's
piano.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
So you managed all right.
So you managed, yes. And it was, if you were elderly, you could always get an online shop.
That's true. Yes.
Which I did, but of course you always had to come over here for it.
Yes.
To get the food, but you could always get one. Yes. So that really saved the family there, I think, quite well.
I think our generation didn't suffer nearly as much as the younger generation.
I don't think it did, no.
We really.
No.
Life just went on.
It was awful. Yes, it was.
Time. And when did Ron die, very sadly?
Ron died almost 12 years ago now.
Yes.
In May it was, yes.
Mm. Well, yes. It's at times...
So I sort of, lived quite a long time on my own, really.
You have, and you obviously cope with that.
Yes, I do, really. Yes, I mean, I never feel sort of lonely. I don't think you do feel lonely in that.
No,
you just have to go out. As long as you couldn't go out for a walk or
absolutely.
You always meet people who say hello and
you do. It's such a good
talk.
Village.
Yes.
It's a very good village to be on your
it
own
is.
In, isn't it?
It's a very good village to grow old, I say.
Yes.
It and really is.
Talking of growing old, can we go back for a moment to your very early life and your father's flour business?
Yes.
And we're talking about flowers in baking, aren't we?
We are proud about, yes, that sort of baking, that's not, right, yes.
And was this something inherited or that he built up himself?
No, it started just as a very, very small mill, and then gradually each family who took over. It was entirely family, though. All the family had the money in it, the shares in it, everything. So, family businesses are quite tricky.
I would think very tricky.
Yes, and as the time went on, the big people like AB Foods and Spillers and Ranks, they took all the outlets, really.
Yes.
So life became very hard for the smaller millers.
Very tough, I can
although
imagine.
It wasn't a small mill in the end, because it was quite sizable, but it just couldn't really survive without... I mean, it ended up like that, if you could...
And these are pictures that will be seen. It's an enormous building.
I mean, it's got...
Huge,
great. Yes, I mean, it's just by the Kingston Bridge, if you're going around in Glasgow.
It's a very striking building, isn't it?
Well, yes, they are. I mean, the middle bit is the old bit with the offices, and then the right bit is what they call the silo, where you store the... flour.
And then
the left bit is all the mechanism of it.
And is it still there?
No, it's gone.
It's gone.
No, AB Foods bought it and ran it for about 10 years, and then they just knocked it down. The machinery went to Canada, but the actual building is, and now it's just an open space.
Ah,
I think it'll be built over originally.
Eventually. But that was very much part of your early life.
Well, it was really. Yes, it was. My father went to the mill every day, including Saturdays. That was his life, really.
And were there other members of the family living round?
Well, yes, my brother, who was older than me, he became chairman when my father died.
Yeah.
And my younger brother went into the mill too. I mean, everybody went, all the family.
Yes.
It was the sort of, if you asked somebody would ask my father, what will your son do? Oh, he'll go into the mill. There was never any doubt as to what you did. Which was quite hard, actually.
Whether they wanted to
yes. or not, exactly.
It's the days of doing what your parents or That's your right. father told you.
Yes, very much so. Yes. Very much so.
Yes.
So that's, yes. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of different, socially, tremendous differences. I think really, what's so striking, I think, is the change in family life. My father would never, ever do things that a father does now.
No.
Never. No.
You didn't get so involved in your children's lives at all, did you?
No. Not the sort of nitty-gritty of the life at
so
all.
So you never felt you got to know him particularly?
No,
well,
not as well. You admired him, of course, but never really got very close, no.
So you must have been quite young when your mother died.
Yes, I was, I suppose, really.
Yes. She was only 50
That's right.
or something, yeah. Very sad.
Yes.
Did she live to see you married?
Yes, she did, luckily. Yes. My father didn't, but my mother did. Yes she did. Yes. And then my younger brother is 11 years. He was born in 1938.
Was he? Yes.
Which is extraordinary, really, because, I mean, just 1 year before the war.
Yes.
But the awful thing was that when, the army took over Ardmore, so my parents had to leave, my mother really never done anything domesticated at all. Extraordinary, really.
And the war came, and so
war
many
came,
women had to learn how to cook.
Yes. And the only member of the staff who went with her was a table maid.
Oh.
And she came as a sort of nanny for John, my little brother, as he was then.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Quite hard, quite different.
Very different.
Very different.
But you are extraordinary, Sue, for the age of 97. I can't get over it. And you still go on as though life is completely normal. You don't seem to have stopped doing anything. You're doing your music.
Not really. I can't climb hills and that sort of thing anymore.
Well, I'm not surprised. I don't think I can climb hills.
And like my granddaughter is going, they're going to Australia for 2 years to work. Well, I can't go out to Australia to see them.
No.
So, you know, that sort of thing. You can't travel, really.
No, but you
But you can move around in the...
Yes.
But my family have been marvellous, wonderful.
I'm sure it's a great joy to have family living so close.
Yes.
But I have to say, Hambledon has over the years been full of very, very old ladies, one has to say.
Yes, there's a lot of old ladies living on their own,
exactly.
I mean, there's Julia there, there's Tushy there, you see.
It's extraordinary.
It is, really. Yes, I know.
Well, I think it's a fascinating life you've had, Sue, and it's so lovely that you've talked about it so
well. Not
openly.
At all. I mean, I just love Hambledon. I will never leave Hambledon, that's for sure.
Well, that's very good.
Unless it's, you have to.
Yes, I'm delighted to hear that.
Yeah.
Can I ask about your husband's naval career?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
So you met him when...
He was a Dartmouth man. So he went at 13 to Dartmouth. His father was an admiral. He was also an engineer admiral. And he was very well honoured at Zeebrugge.
His father?
His father, body, yes. He was, yes.
I'll look him up.
It's the thing's son. I think he always said, Ron, that they didn't have to go into the Navy. But I think he would be pressurised. He would, I think, definitely. Anyway, he did. And he... went to sea a lot before we married.
And can you remember any of his ships? I saw something from HMS Lion.
Yes, that's right. He was seconded to Achilles, which was a New Zealand ship. He loved that. He did a world trip there. And that was at the time of Nagasaki and, the atomic bombs. And... He was also in Vanguard, and but he was always an engineer there, so you were all down below.
Yes.
And he went to Manadon as well.
Yes.
The Royal Naval Engineering College.
Yes. He went actually to Kiam. No, the one before, because his father was captain of Kiam, so they lived at Kiam when his father was captain, but he also went there as a obviously as a cadet. And then, of course, he went to Matherton on the staff. And we were married by then, so that was very nice. Very nice.
So you lived down in Plymouth for that time?
Yes, yes, we did, yes.
In married quarters?
No, we lived out at Yelverton. No, we had very few married quarters during our time, really. We always had to find our own on the whole.
Yes.
Yes. You started, actually, because, you know, the engineers always go to Bath, you do Ensley, and they really took over Bath, which was a lovely place for them to work. But we started in a little farm cottage and a little village called Runton Farley, about 4 miles out of Bath, which had nothing else but electricity. No running water, no sanitation. So when my children sort of complain slightly about where they are, I just say, for goodness sake, be quiet, you know.
I quite agree with you.
You know, you don't have to have all those things to be happy.
And how did your husband's career finish in the Navy?
He finished actually as a commander. He came out of the Navy probably younger than some, but he...
He left as a commander?
Yes, yes.
Engineering officer.
What did he do after that?
He joined the Institute of Marine Engineers in London, and that was when we were living at East Clandon. So he went up every day by train, yes.
East Clandon, where the house went up in flames, didn't it?
That was West Clandon.
It was West Clandon.
Yes, yes. East Clandon has Hatchlands as its natural trust house,
yes,
where
there's
a lovely, lovely collection of pianos.
Absolutely.
The Cobb collection.
And
Alex Cobb.
I interviewed
him years ago.
Yes. So I used to go across a lot to Hatchlands because they had a finishing school there. A very expensive finishing school.
How wonderful.
And the girls were absolutely frozen their waist in because it was so cold. But I used to go and do music appreciation with the ones. Yes, it was fun though.
I wonder what happened to them all.
I wonder. And they all dressed up in their finery and it was great really.
Yes.
Yes. Of us, I mean the three children and myself, the five of us, and we went out and find your own. I mean, we lived actually in the rest house in Johor Bahru for about 3 months, and then we moved into a new China and built a house, which was lovely actually.
Johor, yes, I remember living there. It's a wonderful place.
But it was very, it was all, and we did such a lot of travelling in Malaya. I went to Penang and Port Dickson and all over the place. And I was lucky enough to go out to Bangkok on the Rajabuk, a rice ship, for a week, which was very exciting.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing. And then went to Cambodia and Khawat before the tourists got there. There was nobody there at all. I just went with some students from Singapore. So there were wonderful opportunities, really. In Hong Kong, we went on the Chitral Ronda, big round voyage. So I think we were very lucky, really.
We were terribly lucky.
And then we had a lovely house in the naval base.
Yes.
Very nice. On stilts, you know. We were just fans. Open to the elements.
Yes.
It was lovely.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful memories.
Great memories, really.
Yes.
So I sort of feel I've had a very full and happy life.
Yes, isn't it wonderful to be able to say that?
Nice.
Yes.
I mean, the only tragedy that hit my family was 2 years ago. I don't know whether you heard, I did, but my son's only daughter was in a very bad bicycle accident in the Dolomites, and she was killed. She just went straight into a brick wall. Her brakes failed. And she was a very clever girl. She was a scientist who went to Cambridge. She had a job at number 10 Downey Street. And she really did do well. And she would have gone on doing well.
That is such a tragedy.
It was a tragedy.
Terrible tragedy.
Yes. So that's the first tragedy that hit my family.
Really.
But apart from that,
yes,
it's a good life.